Bishop Martino, my dear brother priests and deacons, fellow religious, beloved seminarians, sisters and brothers in Christ, especially tonight James, who will be baptized, and all friends of the church. Before beginning my reflections on tonight's celebration, I'd like to express my condolences and sympathy to Dr. John Romeri, who is the organist and director of music for the Cathedral Choir, whose father died yesterday. And John is with us tonight leading the music. And Ms. Dr. Romeri, we're deeply grateful to you for your service to the church and promise prayers for your father and your family. I'd invite all of you to sit back and relax because my words are going to be long. And I think those of us who know this liturgy know that the whole idea is to spend the evening in reflection on the mysteries of our faith. So there's nothing about tonight that we need to hurry. We need to rest in the Lord and await his coming into our lives. Today's celebration brings to a close the days of Holy Week. And there's a tradition in the church, a long and ancient tradition, which found expression in this morning's office of readings, that Jesus, in the time between his death on the cross and his resurrection, visited the souls of those who had died before his coming. That's where the notion of limbo has been part of our Catholic theology, a place for the dead who were good, but did not know yet the saving mercy of redemption in Jesus Christ. We say that we believe in this in one of the articles of the Creed, the Apostles' Creed. We say that he descended to hell or descended among the dead, and that gives expression to the faith of the church that Jesus not only saves us and those who have lived after his passion and resurrection, but even as the Savior of the patriarchs of the church, of Adam and Eve, and those who died before his coming. There's a poem that probably isn't a very good poem from the point of view of literature, but a poem which I think captures in a very human way this mystery of our faith. It's entitled Limbo, and it's written by Sister Mary Adda. Sometime, I think, in the 1950s or 60s, she wrote this poem, which I'd like to share with you this evening. So we're supposed to imagine in our minds Jesus coming to Sheol, or the place of the dead, after his death on the cross. And the poem begins. The ancient grayness shifted, suddenly and thinned, like mist upon the moor before a wind. An old, old prophet lifted a shining face and said, "He will be coming soon. The Son of God is dead. He died this afternoon." A murmurous excitement stirred all souls. They wondered if they dreamed, say one old man who seemed not even to have heard. And Moses, standing, hushed them all to ask if any had a welcome song prepared. If not, would David take the task? And if they cared, could not the three young children sing the Benedicite, the canticle of praise they made when God kept them from perishing in the fiery blaze? A breath of spring surprised them, stilling Moses' words. No one could speak, remembering the first fresh flowers, the little singing birds. Still others sought of fields new plowed, or apple trees all blossom bowed, or some, the way a dried bed fills with water, laughing down green hills. The fisher folk dreamed of the foam on bright blue seas. The one old man, who had not stirred, remembered home. And there he was, splendid as the morning sun, and fair as only God is fair. And they, confused with joy, knelt to adore, seeing that he wore five crimson stars he never had before. No canticle at all was sung, none toned a psalm or raised a greeting song. A silent man alone of all that throng found tongue, not any other. Close to his heart, when the embrace was done, old Joseph said, "How is your mother? And how is your mother's son?" It's very beautiful, isn't it? A bit romantic, but very beautiful. And the reason I wanted to share it with you is, you know, for us to remember the extent of our salvation in Jesus Christ, which is a gift to all of history. But that's an abstraction. In some sense, this poem describes the impact of that in the very family of Jesus. Joseph, who had died early in Jesus' life, greeted him at this moment. And the first thing he asked about was Mary, and then about Mary's son. So it's a very, very beautiful poem. But that's a poem about yesterday. Because yesterday is now past. Today is no longer Holy Saturday. We've begun our Easter celebration. And tonight we have a vigil, which is a most ancient tradition of the church. God commanded the Jews every year to commemorate with a vigil the Passover, when the angel of death passed over their homes and destroyed the sinful Egyptians, which was the beginning of the salvation of God leading them from slavery to freedom in the promised land. And in the New Testament, Jesus encouraged his disciples, that's all of us, to be vigilant, to watch, and to be faithful servants. And because of this, the ancient church got together on the biggest, most important feasts, got together and spent the whole night in prayer, listening to the scriptures, all the while waiting for Jesus to come again. And that's why we gather tonight. The Easter Vigil is the mother of all vigil services, the greatest and most important celebration in the life of the church. We gather tonight to meditate on the wonders that the Lord has done in the past and what he does in our time. And we make an act of trust in his word and in his promises to us. I'd like to reflect with you on what we've been doing and what we will do, because sometimes we gather for these celebrations and we really don't know the meaning of our rites and celebrations. We began this evening with the blessing of the new fire at the back of the church. I don't know if you could see it, but it was a beautiful fire. And the church requires that this celebration begins after the sun has set, to remind us of the darkness of the world and the darkness of sin, the darkness of the world without Jesus Christ, and the darkness of sin without his forgiveness. As part of that section of our celebration, we prepared the Easter candle, which is the symbol of Jesus Christ. That's why we reverence it with incense and why we bow before it. It's just a candle, but it's a candle that represents the Lord Jesus risen from the dead. And then the candle was lit and led the procession into the body of the church, just as Jesus leads us in our lives as Christians. And as Jesus' light came into the church, his light penetrated all of our lives as we lit our candles from his candle, which is a symbol of the divine life that the Lord Jesus gives, and he gives to each one of us in our baptism. After the procession with the candle, we heard the beautiful singing of the Exultet, which is an ancient hymn of the church praising the gift that we have received through Jesus' death and resurrection. I think the heart of that hymn is found in one of its verses, which is very brief but very beautiful, where we heard sung, and hopefully sung in our hearts, these words: O love, O charity beyond all telling, to ransom a slave, you gave away your son. My dear brothers and sisters, God loves each of us so very, very much that in order to ransom those of us who have been slaves to sin, and that's all of us, God the Father gave his son. What wondrous love, what wondrous charity. And then we sat to listen to the Word of God. Seven readings from the Old Testament, from the ancient scriptures of the Jews, and two readings from the New Testament. We were instructed to listen with our hearts, meditate on how in times past God saved his people. But then we're told that in these last days, that's our present time, the time after Jesus' death and resurrection, which are the last times in the history of salvation, because God has accomplished all that is to be accomplished in Jesus Christ. In these last days, he sent his Son as our Redeemer. All of this salvation history culminates in Jesus' resurrection from the dead, which is the beginning of the new heavens and the new earth, new life in Jesus Christ. And after my reflections, we begin the next part of our celebration. James, would you please stand up so the congregation will acknowledge you? This is James. He's going to be baptized tonight in our service. There was to be another person be baptized, but she had a baby 2 days ago and is not able to be with us. James, we're very happy that the Lord has led you to be part of our celebration. And we promise our affection, our prayers, and hopefully, my dear brothers and sisters, our good example in your life as a Christian. Welcome to our church community. So tonight we pray for James. We also pray for all those who are being baptized in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia and all those who are being baptized in the church throughout the world. There are thousands of new members of our church who become sons and daughters of God, but at the same time, brothers and sisters to us and brothers and sisters to one another. And as we prepare for James's baptism, we will sing the Litany of the Saints. You know, one of the things we believe is in the communion of saints, which means that we believe that those who've gone before us are still with us as our sisters and our brothers and intercede for us before the throne of God. Then at the baptismal font, we will bless the baptismal water, reminding us of the sacramental meaning of water. You know, the story of creation, which was our first reading today, talks about God's Spirit stirring above the waters at the moment of creation, just as God stirs in your life, James, at the moment of your new creation in baptism. The reading reminds us of the blessing of the water, reminds us of the flood of Noah, which was a moment of God recreating the world, destroying sin, and giving the world new life. The blessing reminds us of one of the scripture readings from the book of Exodus. I think it was our second reading today, where God led the Jewish people from slavery in Egypt to freedom in the promised land, leading them through the waters of the Red Sea that destroyed Pharaoh and his troops, but brought new life to the Jewish people. The blessing reminds us of Jesus's baptism in the Jordan River, when God the Father spoke from heaven and said of him, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And James, in your baptism, God will look upon you and see the face of Jesus and say about you, "This too is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then Jesus told us, his church, to go forth to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, because we have a missionary duty as members of the church to promote and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ by our lives, by our words, and by our deeds. After James's baptism, during James's baptism, he will profess his rejection of Satan and of sin and accept with an act of faith the fatherhood of God, the Savior Jesus Christ, and the transforming presence of the Holy Spirit in his life. After he's baptized, he will receive a white robe, which is a symbol that you've become a new creation, all sin washed away, and new life begins. And he will, for the first time, carry the candle that we all lit as we began our service this evening, reminding us that God, through Jesus Christ, has transmitted to us new life, a blazing life. He desires that a fire begin on the earth through our life, our love, and our service to others. At that moment, we will process back into the sanctuary, and I will call down the Holy Spirit of John on James, and his baptism will be completed with the sacrament of confirmation. Following that, all of us will once again light our baptismal candle, and we will renew the promises of our baptism, which were made for us or we made for ourselves so many years ago, and which we once again commit ourselves to in tonight's Easter celebration. And then the final part of our celebration is the one we're most used to, which is the celebration of the Eucharist, where we proclaim Jesus' death and resurrection. And Jesus comes among us once again and offers himself to the Father as he did on Calvary. And he invites you and I to join our poor selves to his offering and to offer ourselves to the Father in sacrificial love. And then we'll share the Eucharist as a sign of our sisterhood and brotherhood in Jesus Christ. And we will be sent forth into the world singing Alleluia, because the Lord is truly risen, and in his resurrection, we all find new life. May the Lord stir in our hearts the presence of the Holy Spirit, so we might truly believe all that we celebrate in this Easter vigil.